You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Welcome back. Great to have you with us for another fantastic episode. I hope you like this. Do remember to give us a like, comment, a share, a subscribe. It's how we make how we get this podcast out into the ears and eyes of even more people. And you're going to want to do that for today's one because I've got, as always, a guest today. My guest today is a lady called Rachel. Now Rachel lives in Macclesfield in Cheshire in the UK. She lives there with her husband and with her dog Leo. Rachel left school with no A-levels. She had no idea what to do. She loved maths, so naturally she tried accountancy. This didn't work out. So she went out cold calling, selling advertising in building control handbooks. She loved the calling, she hated the selling. She then found out about credit control, which is calling people, problem solving, and maths all in one. Brilliant, right? So Rachel went on to become a corporate credit control trainer. As a result, she trained herself into redundancy 4 times. Now, after the 4th time, Rachel decided her motivation, or she realized her motivation, was helping small businesses to get better, not helping big businesses to get richer. So in 2013, she founded her own company, which helps business owners to get control of their time through reviewing, it's easy for me to say, get control of their time through reviewing their processes, their software, and their systems. And over time, Rachel has become known as the Focus Guru. That is my guest today, Rachel Chiverton. Rachel, how are you doing? Lovely to have you with us.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you very much, Keith.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Now, we have heard your bio, but who is Rachel? Who is the lady behind the bio?
The lady behind the bio. I mean, the bio, I love the way you read that, Keith. I thought that was brilliant. And it does tell you a lot about me. I am passionate about puppies and dogs. And all of my dogs have all been rescue dogs. Leo, who we've got now, is a 15-month-old rescued German Shepherd Collie cross.
Beautiful.
And I'm just hoping he doesn't come barreling in whilst we're recording this, but fingers crossed I've shut the door. And going out, meeting people, helping people, getting out in the fresh air. I love going for walks. And I love watching nature.
Nice.
So one of my big passions is gardening. And when we moved into this house 7 years ago, we had a patio and 2 bits of lawn.
Right.
We now have a patio. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One big flower bed, 4 veg beds, a greenhouse, a stumpery, a shed, and some grass.
My word. That sounds like paradise. That sounds beautiful. I love that. So many times I hear of people, they get into a house and there's a garden there with beds and all sorts, and they go, oh, I want a low-maintenance garden. I'm just going to rip the whole lot out and lay it all to turf. You think, no. God, no. They realise they've actually just created the highest maintenance garden you can have, a lawn. But I love the sound of what you've done with yours there.
So this year we grew our own potatoes, brilla beans, cabbages, salads, tomatoes, sweet corn, beetroot, onions, lots of onions, just about to run out of onions actually. all sorts. I just love it. And you know, they say, you know, food is better the quicker you eat it.
Yeah, the quicker from farm
to fork.
Yeah.
And literally, you know, going outside, digging up an onion, bringing it inside, taking the skin off it, cutting it up and frying it. Just brilliant.
Oh yeah, you can't beat it. I remember when I was young, we used to grow our own raspberries. So of course we go out, pick them to eat after dinner. I think about half the raspberries we picked actually made it to the table. One for the basket, one for me. Oh, delicious. Yeah, you can't beat it. And of
Oh
course,
yeah, I forgot the strawberries as well. You just reminded me talking about raspberries that I also grow my own strawberries.
there you go. There you go. Do you have them in the ground, or do you have them in strawberry planters for ease of picking?
They are in grow bags, but the grow bags are on a strawberry holder. So there's like one at the top and then two either side to keep it level. And then that has netting over it to which is provisionally to stop the birds from eating them. But what I found this year was I had to put it up a lot earlier because it stopped Leo from eating the grow bags.
Well, yeah, there you go. Oh, dear me. So, with all this going on, where do you have time to actually run your own business with all this going on? Where do you find the time?
It's all about getting perfect work-life balance. And the biggest thing that anyone can take away is your longest serving, highest income generating client. Yours is the same as mine, is the same as everybody's out there because it is myself. If you don't put myself first, you don't have a business, you don't have family, you don't have friends, you don't have a company, and you don't have pets. So why wouldn't you put myself first?
Interesting. I love that take. Yeah. So often we hear of people putting everybody else first, and we kind of get drummed into us that it's kind of selfish to put yourself first. You've got to look out for others first. As you say, if you don't look out for yourself, you won't have the other thing. Indeed, if you don't look after yourself, how can you look after people? It's that whole put your own oxygen mask on before helping others, because otherwise you'll pass out, not be able to help anyone.
I mean, it is exactly that. It is put your own oxygen mask on first. But what I realised when I was working with my clients is if you say that to a business owner, they don't relate it to business. If you say myself is your longest serving, highest income generating client, oh yeah, I suppose you should put me first then, shouldn't I?
Yeah. So how long did it take you to come to this realization?
Like, I think pretty much every business, my road kind of went a bit like this.
Every now and then.
And it was about 3 years ago now when someone approached me and said, "You're always out there on social media. I'm a technophobe. If I send you the words and images, can you do my Twitter, my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my web page, my blog, my email list?" And I was like, "Yeah, I can do that." Someone else approached me and said, "Your meetings run to time, they run to brand, they run to format. You can delegate, you don't get distracted by squirrels." "I can't delegate, I'm always distracted by squirrels. Can you hold me accountable?" And I was like, "I can do that." So after I got those two clients, I sat there and thought, "What is it I'm actually doing?" And it was going to be called something different. And then a guy who is a retired scientist turned around and told me I couldn't use the term doctor because people have come up to me and asked me why their elbow was hurting.
Yes.
And so I was actually sat there with my graphic designer, and we were in the local pub on Friday night, and he sat there and just doodled this logo. At which point, my other half, who was still working in Manchester at the time, arrived in the pub and said, "What are you doing?" It's like, "We're thinking of a new name for the company. We've realised that I'm helping people to focus." And he went, "All right, one second." Walked to the bar. He's a geek. Got his pint, walked back and said, "I've just bought you getfocus.guru. That's your company name."
There you go.
And then rounded it off by saying, "Happy Valentine's Day. Guess what I get every year for Valentine's Day?" That renewed.
Your domain renewed. Oh, lovely. Brilliant. I love that. Yeah. Now, you mentioned squirrels there. Anyone who has come across you will have been timing to wait to see when the first mention of squirrels came in. Ah, there we go. There's a squirrel appearing on the screen. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you just missed Rachel's lovely little squirrel there making an appearance. For those who are probably thinking, what the heck are you two on about? What are squirrels? What's that going to do with anything?
Squirrels. You know those things that distract you when you're trying to work?
Mm-hmm.
I call them squirrels. And if you want to know why, watch a dog on a walk as a squirrel runs past.
Ah, yes.
So think notifications, think emails, think flashing lights, think bings, bongs, think doorbells going off, washing machine running. All of those are squirrels. All of those are squirrels. And you have to learn to turn them off.
Yeah. And to me, the thing that pops into my mind immediately there is that we all kind of get the concept of don't get distracted. And we tend to often think of don't get distracted as meaning, right, I'm working on this project, so don't be thinking about that project. An idea for a new project comes in, put it on the back burner until you finish this one. Oh, yeah, I'm mastering this. All right, it's all those other things that come in, the doorbell, the notifications, the you got mail, all of those things, which we tend not to think of as distractions.
Ooh. Whereas there was a university in the States that did a study on this. Mm-hmm. And if you are, say you are working on that project and you are deep in that project, mm-hmm. and then you get that little naughty pop-up email notification that says you've got new mail, it actually takes you over 23 minutes to get back to the level of concentration you were at before that distraction arrived. I think it's something like 23.113 seconds.
So more than 23 minutes to get back on track again.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you think, oh, I'll just have a 5-minute break and make a brew, that's actually minimum 23 minutes, probably more like 28, for you to get back to the level of concentration you were at before you want to make a brew.
Yeah. Wow. Now, that's, I had heard that it does take a long time to get back on track. And I've noticed it myself when you go on to something else and then come back. You're right, it does take you a while. There's that method which I see a lot of people promote, sometimes very, very strongly, that you should work for 50 minutes and then take a 10-minute break?
The Pomodoro technique is work for 25 minutes, have a 5-minute break.
Right.
25 minutes, 5-minute break, 25 minutes, 5-minute break, 25 minutes, 20-minute break.
Right. So if you work for 25 minutes, have your 5-minute break, it's then going to take you about 23 minutes to get back to where you were, which means you've got 2 minutes of being productive before another break again.
Yeah.
So it's not just me who thinks that doesn't sound like a good way of working.
No, but you can. Most people can't concentrate for more than 45 minutes without a break.
Right.
Because by the end of 45 minutes, your brain is getting tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will start looking for those distractions because it wants a relief, because it wants a break, because it doesn't want to be focusing purely mm-hmm. on this one thing.
Yeah.
So I tend to work with my clients in, at the beginning, they track every 15 minutes what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we find is if you track that, then people gain back between two and three hours a day because they realise how much time they're wasting on social media and scrolling emails and things like that. But then once we've got control of that time back, then we work in 30-minute blocks.
Okay.
So 30-minute blocks. And 30 minutes works quite nicely because a lot of meetings you'll find start at the hour or at the half hour.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
So it works quite well with fitting in with other people's time planning as well.
Yeah. I remember that from corporate. It's always a nightmare. Everybody expects a meeting to start on the hour or on the half hour and finish on the hour or half hour. So if you've got like 3 back-to-back meetings, how do I get from this meeting to this meeting in 0 seconds? I remember our director at our site, used to always have his meeting started 3 minutes past the hour and finished 3 minutes before the half hour or 3 minutes before the hour. So you've got time to grab a coffee, have a quick wee, and get to your next meeting. Oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah, and it's a lot of corporates now are actually doing standing meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that helps you to focus because you're standing up, you're not getting lazy, you're not getting relaxed.
Yeah.
So it keeps you focused and it means meetings happen in about half the length of time.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, got it. Okay. Now, a question for you. You said you encourage, when you first start working with clients, you encourage them to track on a 15-minute basis what they're doing. Does that mean they set a timer to interrupt them every 15 minutes, or do you just sort of do what you're doing and stop, go, right, so that's 3/4 of an hour passed by and I was doing that, so that's those 3 blocks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and also, because otherwise you're going to be completely, completely unproductive.
Yes, we get interrupted every 15 minutes.
You know that if you're, say, in a networking meeting,
mm-hmm.
you can block or count the 1/4 of an hour before the meeting,
yeah.
the time of the meeting, and the 1/4 of an hour after it.
Yeah.
Because you'll be faffing around, finding your introduction, loading up Zoom.
Yeah.
The first 1/4 of an hour.
Yeah.
And at the end, you've got the saving of the chat. You possibly want to go and get a drink. You possibly want to go and relieve yourself. So yep. that just goes down as one chunk.
One chunk, so one 2-hour chunk for an hour and a half meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. That all makes sense, yeah.
But the other thing is you have to be honest. So if you say, I've worked on this client for an hour.
Yeah.
At any point in that hour, did you take a sneaky look at Facebook?
Yeah.
And if you did, you need to log it.
Yeah. I guess for some people, they will have the temptation just to not log those. So they don't get told off. But well, let's face it, if you've got to be honest with yourself if you want to change these things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, if you're not honest with yourself, the only person you're depriving is yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And as we know, myself, it's my longest serving, highest income generating client.
Indeed. And why would you want to shortchange your highest paying, longest serving client?
Absolutely.
Yeah, got it. Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, how did you come up with all this? Or is this something you developed yourself? Is it from experience? How did you develop this approach?
It's my experience. It's the way that I work.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it actually comes from working in the credit control sector.
Right.
Because in the credit controls sector, you know, even just as a business owner, ideally you send an invoice out,
mm-hmm.
especially if you email it, you then pick up the phone 3 days later and you have a chat and you make sure that they've received it by blaming the spam bot for eating it.
Yes.
halfway through, find something that's happening like halfway through your payment terms. You then pick up the phone to the client around that event and have a chat with them about the event and then find out if you've made any errors on the invoice. And if you make those 2 phone calls, 95% of your clients pay you. You've never asked for money.
Okay.
So with credit control, it's always been about deadlines, accountability, processes, systems, procedures. And even when it's credit control post-payment date,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be there with diaries saying, you know, I spoke to Joe and Joe said he paid me on Thursday. So on Thursday at 3:30, after all the bank transactions come in for the day, need to check if Joe's is there.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe's isn't there, then you need to pick the phone up to Joe. But you need to do it on Thursday because that's when he said the money would be in. If you do it on Friday, he's moved on to something else.
Yes.
So it's all this and learning and everything that I accumulated from the corporate world and the ways that I didn't like being managed, the way I did like being managed, the way I hated the micromanaging software that we used.
Yeah.
Um, And mindset is such a key part of this. And people don't think about mindset when they think about time.
Fair point, yeah.
So one of the biggest tips for the people watching or listening to this show is if you use a list, if you call it an achievement list, your eyes and your subconscious focus on everything you have. If you call it a to-do list, your eyes and your subconscious focuses on everything you haven't done. And you start off with a feeling of, God, there's so much on this list. I'm just going to get to it and I'm never going to get it done. If you reframe it and call it an achievement list, your eyes and your subconscious focuses on everything you have achieved. And you start off with a feeling of, well, I've done a lot. What more can I get done today?
Nice. I like that. That reminds me of a thing I used to do, which people used to laugh at or found funny at the time, but I found it actually worked. When I was in corporate, I used to have my to-do list. Sorry, forgive me, Rachel. I used to write my to-do list, but when I was writing one, I always put as item number one, create to-do list for whatever. I'd create the list, and the very first, as soon as I created it, I could tick off the first thing. So it's like, right, I'm already on the second thing. I've already got the first thing done. And it sounds daft, but it's that little sense of, you know, well, we got one thing done already. Right. Let's get on to the next one. It kind of.
It sounds daft, but it's actually not, because when you achieve something, celebrate, which gives you a hit of dopamine.
Yeah.
So
you then want to do the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Nice. So how do you work with clients? I mean, is it one-on-one? Is it group? Is it through workshops? How do you help your clients get the best out of them?
So I work one-to-one with my accountability clients, because that's tailored to their accountability needs each week. I run group sessions for time management, for dealing with procrastination and overwhelm, although they sometimes go into bespoke one-to-ones, because what's causing your overwhelm or your procrastination is very different to what could be causing mine.
Sure.
So teaching that as a group is quite difficult. And accountability is a big thing as well. Mm-hmm. But what we do in the accountability is we track the achievements. And because it's all about work-life balance, the achievement could be cuddle your daughter three times this week.
Ah, right. Yes.
Because what you're achieving there is you're achieving a better relationship with your daughter and with your family. So I don't just focus on work. So, for example, one of my achievements this week, which is a new habit that I'm forming, so has been an achievement for the last week and will be for the next three, is I have a supplement drink that gives me nutrition, it helps my skin repair, it helps my gut repair, and it gives me a balance of vitamins and minerals. So one of my achievements this week for myself is to have that seven times this week.
Got it.
And yet, so far this week, I'm up to three.
Pretty good. Given we're on day three, that's pretty good going.
But yeah, so we look at life as well as work, because again, you don't get the life-work balance.
Package. Love it. Now, I know you've done some books. What are they all about?
So, I love how this came about. Last December, I had no intention of writing a book. And then I had a call with a networking friend of mine between Christmas and New Year, and we were bored. So she said, why don't we write a book? And what are we going to write a book on? Time management. Yeah, we can do that. So in May of this year, our first book, 52 Ways to Achieve Your Work-Life Balance, was published. And that really is, I don't know whether I can get it to, it's tips and tricks, and again it looks at work and work and life.
Yeah.
And it's people just flip through it and a headline will jump out and they'll go, wow, that's what I need. And then last week on my birthday, so we published that one in May, and then we were like, right, should we do another one? Yeah, why not?
It gets addictive, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? I'm sure you can tell me about that. Last week on my birthday, 104 awesome networking tips.
Oh, lovely.
Got published. There's less, there's more kind of actions and questions for you in 52 ways to make you think about things. Mm-hmm. Whereas the tips is lots of things you may not have realised.
Right.
So, for example, our graphic designer, he came round because he's one of our proofreaders as well. He came round to pick up his proof copy of 104 ways. And I've been networking with him 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And he just opened the book up and he went, I didn't know roller banners came with keys. So there's tips in there for you, whether you're a pro or whether you're just starting out with networking. We've written it to cover the spectrum of everybody.
Wow, nice. I love that. I'm going to ask, I'm assuming there will be a third book, because I know the two of you, there will be a third. Is that third book going to be 156 somethings, or is it going to be 208 somethings? I'm just trying to spot the pattern there.
we haven't quite decided yet. we've not had a chat yet. Because I'm focusing on another project at the moment that is happening next month, and once that's over, we'll start talking books. But we have mentioned potentially doing a tip per workday, so I don't know how many that'll end up as. Mm-hmm. We have discussed doing 76 tips, so it's partway between the two.
Right, yeah.
we have discussed doing a tip every weekend. Who knows?
Watch this space, as they say.
So, yes, we are not. At one point, we did say we're going to do 3 tips a week. In the next one, it's like, no, let's be sensible, Alice. Or we might just choose a completely arbitrary number.
Get one of those random number spinners. Spin it round. Oh, 15,000 tips. Right, here we go.
if we do, I think the random number generator would be between 53 and 103.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let's see what comes up. Although we're not sure whether we are actually going to throw an odd number in the title or whether we're going to keep to the theme of even numbers.
Yeah. Can't wait to see. Now, you mentioned you've got something coming up next month. What's that? What's happening next month?
So next month, I am running my first ever Focus Guru Business Convention, which is a half-day workshop in Stockport in Cheshire.
Okay.
It has 2 keynote speakers. It has 4 spotlight speakers. There are 15 stands. Mm-hmm. And there is a networking opportunity as well.
Nice.
And I am aiming to bring over 100 local business owners together throughout the duration of the convention, which is 10:30 till 2:30.
Fantastic.
So if you have the school run, you can still get there.
Yeah.
If you don't have kids and you want to turn off for even more networking, there is a networking breakfast before it as well.
Nice.
I'm finishing at 2:30 because I'm running it on a Friday. Everyone should be able to miss the rush hour traffic.
Ah, nice. And that's in November.
That's on the 18th of November at Bredbury Hall.
Nice.
If people want more information, there is an Eventbrite page for it.
Brilliant. I was going to ask because time is marching on as it always does. If people want to find out more about Rachel, maybe even get in touch. What's the best place for them to find out?
The best place to go is my website, which is getfocus.guru.
Getfocus.guru.
And everything is on there, all my packages, what I do, my blogs, and ways to contact me.
Brilliant. Has it got details of the event as well?
I think it has, but I will go away and double check after this just to make sure.
So the answer will be yes by the time people listen.
It will be by the time it's going up.
Brilliant. So if you want to find out more about Rachel, find out more about her event, her books, her packages, maybe even get in touch with her, go to her website, getfocus.guru. Getfocus.guru. She is, as you'd imagine, she's also on the socials. I've got all of the links to where you can find Rachel. They're all in the show notes for this episode. As always, you'll find it at keithblakemanoble.com/show and look for the one with Rachel Chiverton. Or go to getfocus.guru and find out more about Rachel directly. Rachel, thank you so much for being a guest. It's been a fascinating discussion. I've absolutely loved it. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. And I have to say, he's got to make in another appearance.
Yeah, it's that squirrel. Does the squirrel have a name?
Squirrel.
Squirrel. There you go.
Well, to be fair, when I'm at networking meetings, as soon as I hold it up, whether face-to-face, I hold it up and everyone else just goes, squirrel! On Zoom, I have to do it because everyone else is muted, but you can see them all. So it doesn't need a name other than squirrel.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Brilliant. Well, Rachel, best of luck with your event in November. Can't wait to see what title you two come up with for your third book. And thank you so much for being a wonderful guest. And remember, folks, if you want to find out more about Rachel, go to getfocus.guru. That's it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll catch you in another one. Remember, give us a like, comment, share, and subscribe. Give us a review on any of the podcast platforms. And until next time, I will leave you with Rachel's favorite quote. It's from a gentleman called Stephen Thomas, absolute expert in networking. Stephen is Stephen Thomas, and his great quote: "Every big opportunity starts with a little conversation." And it doesn't stop there. If you're a Patreon, head over to my Patreon channel where Rachel and I discuss a couple of instruments that Rachel absolutely loves, the theremin and the laser harp.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.